Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, all union members. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, all union meetings are now canceled. All union member rights to govern the union have been suspended. Stay away from the union office. Do not attempt to question elected leaders or company managers.
Shut up!
Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay away from the union office. Dues will be extracted from your paycheck, and you will not question where the money is going. Anyone caught discussing a strike, slowdown, stick out, picket, or meeting with union members without permission from elected leaders may be trolled online, mysteriously fired, and their grievances may be lost. Remain calm. Do not fight unfair company policies. Your union rep will be by to explain how you cannot tell the company how to treat you or maintain the best possible working conditions. Anyone caught sharing information from the union, labor law, the contract, or local bylaws without permission of the elected leaders will be humiliated. Remain calm. Do not strike. The number one enemy of progress is questions. Withholding information is more important than knowing the truth. All obedience to elected leaders and management will proceed as normal. No union member may post on Facebook without permission from the union office. Read only the information given by your elected leaders.
Shut up!
Obey all orders without question. The contract we give you will be ratified. Be happy! At last, everything is done for you.
Peace, 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 everybody. This is Brother Eric. We are live at the moment, but you may be listening to a recording. If you are listening live, we have a phone number that you can call in. 515-605-9885. I need to go through a little introduction, and then we can try to open it up because I want to get some information over to you that you may find very interesting. The disclaimer: this is not a official union production, and this is just merely information that you may find helpful. There is no intent to mislead. For any official information from the official union office, be sure you contact the officials at the official union office for the official information. As you know, this pandemic has devastated our economy. Stay-at-home orders have been issued, and laws have been written to maintain a degree of control over the spread of COVID-19. Millions are locked up in their homes around the world. Many are sick, and many have died from this virus. Some have no alternative for staying at home, and the transportation industry is one of them. And I am a public transportation worker, and I happen to be one of those who is infected and recovering, doing better every day. Three of my coworkers are not so lucky. So we who are responsible for picking up and delivering human beings, livestock, commodities, other goods, have been struggling to stay healthy and alive during the pandemic. But those of us that do this, we have been dealing with many health and safety hazards long before the pandemic. The pandemic, no doubt, merely shined the spotlight on what transportation workers and our unions have been struggling to correct for over a century. We simply want to do our jobs well in the best possible working conditions. And this is what many of our agreements, our collective bargaining agreements, the so-called contracts between our unions and our employers, this is what they dictate. Every single victory we've achieved in as workers, union, non-union, was achieved through struggle. Not a struggle to bribe politicians. This is a new phenomenon, and it is woefully inadequate. We haven't achieved anything through begging. It is only through on-the-job and public actions that we have achieved anything, and the ultimate of which is known as the strike. There are all kinds of strikes. Some things that we call strikes aren't really strikes, and we won't get into that today. We have very short time on the air. And when it comes to what's lawful and not lawful as well, there's a lot of information. Two of the strikes by the company I work at were not legal. These were officially wildcat strikes. A couple years ago, the whole state of West Virginia's public school teachers went on strike. That was a wildcat strike. It was an illegal strike. But they did it, and they won great progress for all of their teachers, including those that weren't in the unions. This March, the Detroit bus operators took action, and others have done that. It may not be considered a strike, but it was very much like a strike. Now, some states have very strict laws about striking. Now, Illinois has one, and it's in the description of this show. I give you the link for that law. It's very, very wordy, difficult to read law. But, you know, after difficulty comes ease. So if you challenge yourself, try to spend some time reading it every once in a while and chip away at it. You can start to understand the law that governs us, and that will help you to be safer on the job. So the word tonight is essential. That's right, essential. Everyone's calling ourselves essential. We're being called essential. Our lawmakers have been dropping it all over the place like seeds, just throwing it around. Essential workers, essential workers. Our mayor here in Chicago, essential, essential, essential. What is essential? Well, this word, frankly, is being used, and when we repeat it, we are perpetuating its abuse, the abuse of ourselves. This word will be used to cut off the head of any chance of a legal strike by public transportation workers in our state. And it's going to set precedents for the for those that are under the NLRA or in private transportation companies, freight railroads, and Amtrak, and UPS, everybody. So we got to be real careful, and I'm going to explain why in a moment. You also hear the word frontline workers. Frontline workers is the wisest word to use to define yourself in our struggle. Frontline, as the noun of thing, we are frontline. Let's look at it in that way, because that's what it is. It's a very interesting definition. The military line or part of an army that's closest to the enemy. The most important or influential position in a debate or movement. Who is our enemy? Well, we could just say right now we got a virus, right? We got a pandemic. And we are close to it, right? I was, whatever train I was on or trains I was taking out, I got it. Maybe a coworker caught it, and I caught it from him or her. It's a battle. We're on the front line. Let's look at the word essential. It's an adjective. Description. Adjective is a description. Absolutely necessary. Extremely important. With infinitive. It is essential to keep up-to-date work records. Fiber is an essential ingredient. Transit workers are essential to our economy and to the transportation of the frontline workers. If you look at it, if you use the word essential as a noun, it's very similar, a thing that is absolutely necessary. But we are not a thing. You are not a thing. I am not a thing. To think of ourselves a little better. We're very much like frontline. We're in a military. We're battling greed. We're battling disease. Battling ourselves and our fears. We are not a thing. We're human beings. We are described as essential. So Illinois state law. Now, in my link that I give you, it's going to take you to what's specifically called the Illinois Public Labor Relations Act, all right? And it is what governs the public transportation workers in Illinois, all right? And we are in, and it has other more specific definitions. I won't get into that. I want to get right to this word essential. In the law, there's definitions. I'm going to give you the definition of essential. All right, essential services employees. All right, now this, you know what? I didn't in my notes. I'm sorry. Services. I need to give you the exact section. So this is section 3, chapter 48, paragraph 1603. Essential services employees means those public employees performing functions so essential that the interruption or termination of the function will constitute a clear and present danger to the health and safety of the persons in the affected community. So when you take on what they give us, that title, essential, we got to know what we're saying here. All right? We got to be real careful. Let's get into the heart of the law, where I talk about how the law says you have a right to strike. So in chapter 48, paragraph 1617, section 17, right to strike. Nothing in this act shall make it unlawful or make it unfair labor practice for public employees, other than security employees, as defined in Section 3P, peace officers, firefighters, and paramedics employed by the fire departments and fire protection districts to strike as otherwise provided in this act. Public employees who are permitted to strike may strike only if, and it gives a list of reasons, okay? We won't get into that right now, okay? But we as public transportation workers would be able to, would fit into this. But here's the key, is they said right away that this right to strike has ruled out security employees as defined in Section 3P, peace officers, police, firefighters, and paramedics employed by fire departments and fire protection districts, okay? Firefighters. And, you know, that goes back to when there was an actual firefighter strike in Chicago, I believe, when that was put in for that. I don't know for sure. I can't confirm it. And some people did die, you know, because they just couldn't get the fire out. Let's look at that security employee, because some may think that's us in Section 3P. So security employee is an employee who's responsible for the supervision and control of inmates at correctional facilities. So that's not us. That's not us. Public transportation, that's not you. Okay, that's not us. If you want to strike, I'll go briefly. You got to be represented by an exclusive bargaining rep, which would be your president of your union. And the collective bargaining agreement has to have expired. And if it doesn't, ban a strike. So if your contract says no strike, you know, well, this doesn't include you, but our contracts don't have that. I did a show on that. If you look in the episode list, called "Is There an Is There a No Strike Clause in Our Contract?" There isn't, but you may say there is. So listen to that show. We can argue about it later. So let's look at let's keep looking at essential, right? So let's look through the rest of the law for essential. All right, and we have some more information in Chapter 48, Paragraph 1618, Section 18, talking about a strike. If a strike which may constitute a clear and present danger to the health and safety of the public is about to occur or is in progress, the public employer may petition the board, that's the Labor Act board, to make an investigation and conduct unfair labor practices committed by the employer shall be a defense to such petition. If the board finds that within 72 hours there's a clear and present danger to the health and safety of the public, the employer shall petition the circuit court where the strike is about to occur or is in progress for appropriate judicial relief to stop the strike, or set conditions and requirements which must be compiled or complied with the executive representative or president of our union, and to avoid or remove any such clear or present danger. Okay? No injunctive relief shall be granted except upon showing that the strike constitutes a clear and present danger to the health and safety of the public. So it's wrapping up here. The court may allow the strike to occur or continue under conditions which it finds will avoid or remove any such clear and present danger. The court shall designate the essential employees within the effective unit whose services are necessary to avoid or remove any such clear and present danger. So you would still be able to get it done if you're a public transportation employee, but if the judge can even say, yeah, you can go ahead, but we still got some people that we need to keep on site so that there's no meltdown, so to speak, of the reactor, right? So, but see, again, here's that word essential. So we got to, There's just no sense in using that word, because what we're going to do is set ourselves up so that maybe some law will come up, some amendment to this law, that'll really pile on the word essential and make it impossible to do this kind of action at any time. So essential. I'm going through this. Let's see if we got some calls. This here. We got someone on hold. I'm going to turn you here. Your phone number ends in the number 38. Your phone number ends in 38. Go ahead. Who is this? Anyone there? We don't hear you. About 6338. Go ahead. Going once, going twice. All right, don't hear anything. Maybe you can put something in the chat box and we'll get back to you. I'll leave you live. All right. 8 minutes left on the live show. So we have this word essential, and we have an alternative. Okay, we have an alternative called front line. And now you can see why it's much better to call ourselves front line workers, front line transportation workers, front line transit workers, front line workers. If you're a nurse, doctor, technician, and you're under this law, yeah, you're essential. Because of what you're doing, but still, be careful. You're really a frontline worker, because they're going to use this word essential to make it impossible for you to do anything in the future, any type of action. All righty. And I want to just double check my notes about the essential. It is the purpose of this act to prescribe the legitimate rights of both public employees and public employers to protect the public health and safety of the citizens of Illinois, and to provide peaceful and orderly procedures for protection and the rights of all, to prevent labor strife, and to protect the public health and safety of the citizens of Illinois. All collective bargaining disputes involving persons designated by the board is performing essential services, and those persons defined herein as security employees shall be submitted to impartial arbitrators who shall be authorized to issue awards in order to resolve such disputes. It is the public policy of the state of Illinois that where the right of employees to strike is prohibited, it is necessary to afford alternative, expeditious, equitable, an effective procedure for the resolution of labor disputes. The law is not constructed in the favor of the workers. All right, so the workers have to know the law. We have to know the law, and if there's another term we're using out here called first responders. Okay. And yes, we can argue technically we're first responders. But again, look at the law. I'm not saying what it is. I don't know where it fits in the law in our state. If we just take whatever they give us for a label, we will not be able to go back or take it back or say, no, we don't want that. Because the fad, it'll be a fad. It'll be so cool to be called this now, right? But now, if you're like that, you may not be able to take action. You may not be able to, you know, say, hey, I want to exercise my legal right to strike. Okay. And you know, our union presidents can request mediators for mediation or conciliation of a dispute with our employer. And even that could be, you know, taken from us if we're just so quick to grasp the term essential. Interestingly, we'll go back to the right to strike, section 17. At least 5 days have elapsed after a notice of intent to strike that was given to the employer. So, you know, the president of your union has to say, okay, we have this, our members want to do this action of striking. In 5 days, we're going to do this. This is to be within the law. Now, anyone who participates in it, in the stoppage or the slowdown, in violation of the act, will be subject to discipline by its employer. Okay? So, you should know this law. So, if you say, well, we're going to organize a wildcat, which a wildcat would be something that is not in compliance with this law, realize that by participating in it, okay, and the stoppage of work or the slowdown, you will be subject to discipline. So that means you can be terminated. And I know for our employer, there is a specific rule about wildcat, and there is in the Labor Management Rights Disclosure Act, there is a thing about wildcat. So, you know, everything is kind of against us for the wildcat, but successful strikes can be wildcats, okay? If there is no, if everyone's or most of the people in action are doing it, well, it's really nothing anyone can do about that. But the unions must be prepared, like in New York City, to be fined. So TWU 100 was fined a lot of money, and their dues checkoff was taken. So they have to. That means the dues being withdrawn from paychecks. They actually had to go out and tell their members, hey, you know, sign up with us, with the union, so that dues can be taken out of your bank account. I think to this day, they're still trying to get members many years later to sign up for withdrawal. So we got about a minute left. The unions must be stronger so that not only can we be in compliance with the law, but just in case the unions are not in compliance with the law, they can handle the blowback from the courts, from maybe the public, you know. But that's up to the workers. That's why workers have to control the unions. The union is not the elected leaders. The union is you. So you have to be in control, and you have to dictate what goes on in the union. And those officers work for you. They cannot tell you what to do. You actually, as a group, tell them what to do. You debate issues. You vote on them. And then your president says, I hear and obey. And they carry it out with you. The front, and if anyone has to go to jail, they will go to jail. Thanks so much for listening. I'm sorry that caller, you came in and then I was talking too long, I think. So I hope you enjoyed this show, and we will wrap it up, and you have yourself a wonderful, wonderful evening. Thanks for listening. Good night. This is a Tabala Wolof drumming, traditional drumming in from West Africa. And for those who are of the Islamic traditions, Ramadan Mubarak. Peace, everybody.